سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله موجود قبل حدوث الأشياء ويبقى بعد فناء الأشياء، تفرد بالأولية والقدم ووسم كل شيء ما عداه بالفناء والعدم. قال عز شأنه: كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه وكل نفس ذائقة الموت. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
First of all, I'll just ask your brothers to move up here, so if those people want to come later, they will be able to sit in the back easier without everyone having to move again, inshallah. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
When a loving, compassionate, and wise father wants to give a gift to his son, to his child, then he will see how much can the child take advantage of that gift? How will he use that gift? And based on that, will decide whether he should get that gift or not. He will ask his child, "What gift do you want?" And so if his young son is asking for a gift, his father will ask him, "What gift do you want?" So the son, who is not even 10 years old, says, "I want a Lamborghini." Father, who is loving, he can afford to give him a Lamborghini, but will ask him, "Son, you are still young. What will you do with a Lamborghini? What will you do with this Lamborghini?" The son says that, "Father, I like the hubcaps. I want to play frisbee with it." So he says, "So you want me to buy the Lamborghini so you can play frisbee with its hubcaps?" Well, obviously, the gift and the blessing that is being given, you see that the son does not have the capacity to take advantage of it. He doesn't have the ability to make use of it. So if the father decides not to give this blessing to him, then he will be right. And the child does not deserve to get a blessing that he cannot make use of. It is only right that someone should not get a blessing that they cannot use or they don't know what to do with it. This is, my friends, when we get a blessing from Allah, if Allah gives us a blessing, then He sees how much can we use that blessing. If we do not know how to use a blessing, if we cannot take advantage of a blessing, Allah will not give us that. He has the right not to give it to us. He has the right not to give it to us. And He will be right in not giving us that blessing because we don't know what to do with it. It's like the example I gave you. You are asking for a car to play frisbee with its hubcap. He says, I'll buy you a frisbee. Why a Lamborghini? I mean, it makes no sense for you to ask for this blessing to use it for this purpose. So my friends, understand, when Allah gives a blessing, He gives it according to our capacity of taking advantage of it. If we can take advantage of it, if we can appreciate the blessing He has, then He will give another blessing and He will increase our blessing. This is the point where Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful for the blessings Allah has given you, then Allah will increase those blessings. If you make use of the blessings that you already have, if you can appreciate those blessings, then Allah will give you more. But if you don't appreciate or you cannot appreciate the blessings that you have, then why would Allah give you more? It goes against His wisdom. It's like you're giving a child something he cannot use. He doesn't know how to use. He will misuse it. He won't know what to do with it. So now how do we give shukr to the blessing that we have? What does it mean that you are shakir, that you are thankful for Allah's blessing? It means that at least you should know what that blessing is for. That ni'mat that Allah is giving you, you should know what it's for. You should not have a very minimal opinion or viewpoint regarding that blessing. If you are given a car, then you should know that the car is meant for you to go around and be a transportation for you. And you use it for that purpose. And when you use it for the purpose it's meant for, Allah will give you more. He will give you a better one. He will give you a newer one. He will make arrangements so that you can get a better one because you know what to do with it. But if you don't know what to do with the blessing that you have been given, then Allah will not increase your blessing. He says, only if you are grateful, only if you are thankful, then Allah will increase the blessing for you. So if we are not getting a blessing from Allah and we keep on asking for it, then it means that our opinion, or we do not know what to do with that blessing. Our opinion of that blessing, our viewpoint of that blessing is a very minimum viewpoint. It's a very minimum view we have of that, not the maximum view. We don't have a maximum. A lot of times we see this is the case. This is the viewpoint. This is what we think when we are asking Allah for His greatest blessing. When we ask Allah for His greatest blessing, the blessing of the Imam, the blessing of the presence of the Imam, we are asking Allah to send Imam-e-Zamana back to us. So this blessing If we don't get it, if we Allah is not sending it, if Allah is not making the Imam reappear before us, it means that we do not know what to do with him. We don't have the capacity to make use of him. Sometimes we see that our view of the Imam is the most minimum view. When we see the reappearance of the Imam, what do we think about the reappearance of Imam? Why should the Imam come back? What are we going to do if the Imam comes back? You know, and alhamdulillah, you say, you know, there will be adl. Okay, great, alhamdulillah, there will be adl and justice. Fantastic. You know, what does that mean? You know, why is the Imam coming back? Why should he come back? What does it mean for us when he comes back? Why am I waiting for the Imam? What am I going to do when he's here, you know, when I see him? Okay. Alhamdulillah, Imam is here. For what? He is going to get rid of all the zalimeen and oppressors and criminals. Okay. You know, I mean, he gets rid of all the criminals. Then what? And then, you know, we have a nice state to live in, nice country to live in, you know, the world will be in peace. Okay, then what? Okay, what about then? We'll go on with our life, we'll do our business, we'll get to our jobs, that's it. You know, so you want the Imam to come back so you can do business and that you can go on with your life? We're waiting all these years for what? I mean, imagine, what is our view of the Imam? What are we going to do? I mean, what is it for us? Why is it, you know, that we're asking for this blessing? Allah, ajal Allah ta'ala farajahu, we want to see the Imam because this guy is bothering me. When he comes, he'll get rid of him. This is an oppressive state we live in, zalim, unjust state. When he comes back, we'll get rid of him. You know, he'll get rid of him so I can do my business. I can have a job and, you know, I can go fishing then. I mean, what is our view of the Imam? You know, sometimes our view of the Imam is so minimum that we really cannot, you know, when we see it, that's why Allah, you see, He says you can't appreciate the Imam yet. If you know what the Imam is coming for, you won't, you know, if you appreciate it, Allah will send it. Why won't Allah send it? He can send him, but because we don't appreciate what He's coming for. What we will do with him. Sometimes we see our view of things is very minimum, you know. We take it at the lowest point. It's not wrong, you know. For example, you know, I mean, I heard this before from people who told me, you know, like in our center, all the youth come to the majlis, you know, they're all there. So, you know, one of the elders, you know, he's like, you know, very happy to see all the youngsters there participating. He says, Maulana, alhamdulillah, you know, your center is very good, all the youth are here, and because we have these majalises, this and that, you know, alhamdulillah, they're here, and because of this, they're not on drugs. What does that mean? You know, yes, Maulana, because they're here, they're not in nightclubs. I mean, is that what the majlis is for? To get them off of drugs? From nightclubs? A lot of times our view, and you know, it's not wrong what he's saying, he's right. Yes, the time they're in the center, obviously, you know, they're not shoplifting or doing other kinds of crazy stuff. But is that the purpose of this? Our view of things is so low, and it's not wrong to have, I mean, it's not saying that he's wrong in having that view, but it's saying that our view of things is so low that we think that this is just for this. We haven't even understood the maximum result that can get from this. We haven't even understood that yet. Our view is that, you know, alhamdulillah, if we have these programs, the youth will be off the streets and out of bad habits. That's not what it's for. I mean, you know, these majalis of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein didn't die and he did not sacrifice himself so he can keep our kids off of drugs. That's not the purpose, that's not the intention, that's not the reason, you see? My friend, understand why. And then we will know what it means. This is not the reason, you know, that for example, oh, because I, you know, I'm praying, you know, I'm in the majlis, you know, so I, you know, alhamdulillah, I won't be a night, it's holding me from going to nightclubs. You know, that's not the reason. There is a higher objective. We are only taking the lower objectives. Yes, everything you see in Islam has depth in it. There is a higher objective and there's a lower objective. Why do we always want to take the lower objective and hold on to that? Why do you want to take the lower objective of that and hold on to that? You know, Allah has made, He Himself says, He has made something that will keep you off of drugs and off of nightclubs and music and everything, all kinds of haram, He says. It will keep you away from that. He has made something for it, special pill. You know, if you take that ta'weez and pill, you know, you stay away from everything. You stay away from everything if you take that, what Allah has given you. He says, if you take this, then everything, it is the magic pill, it is a magic ta'weez, that's it. If you do this, He says, every sort of evil will stay away from you. You will not get involved in that. Really, you will not get involved in that. But of course, a lot of times, you know, we look for things that are exotic. We don't look for things that are simple to find solutions in. You know, it does happen, you know. Like for example, you know, we want, for example, even when it comes to du'as, you know, Mawlana, give me a du'a that, you know, is such that no one else has it but me. You know, he said, okay, you know, I mean, what is the best du'a? This and that for me to read, you know. I said, you know, well, why don't you read Tasbih of Hazrat Fatima. Tasbih of Hazrat Fatima, everyone reads that. I want something else. Something exotic. Something that is rare. What am I going to make one up for you? What we have is we have. You know, and the issue is that the answer that has been given, we don't take that answer. We want something exotic for ourselves. You know, that we can tell others, oh, I have something that no one else has in the community. Look at this. It's rare. The answer, what Allah is giving, use that answer. Allah is saying, there's something that I have given you that will make you stay away from all kinds of evil. Nothing will even come close to you. Allah, what is that? Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Namaz is that which keeps you away from all types of evil. Prayer. So, alhamdulillah, we found out that if you pray, you stay away from drugs, you stay away from nightclub, everything, you just pray. Allah is saying, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha," it will prohibit fahsha and munkar, evil, from even coming close to you. If you pray. So now what happens when we pray? Okay, is that, now when you look at prayer, a lot of people say, alhamdulillah, prayer is meant to keep us away from evil, from sins, from nightclubs, from drugs. But is that the objective of prayer? I mean, yes, it's not wrong. Allah says that in the Quran. So what I'm saying is right. What I'm saying is right. It's Allah, it's the Quran that is saying that. But my friends, in everything there's a lower objective and there's a higher objective. We always tend to take the lower objective and say, you see, namaz is to keep you away from drugs. Yes, it is one of the objectives of prayer to keep you away from evil. But is that the main objective? Is that the viewpoint we should have of that? Is that what we should think about prayers? No, my friends. If you think that, then you will see. If you just think that, okay, prayer is only meant for do that, then you will see that eventually prayer will not help you. It will just make you. You will still pray and do haram. Look at all the Arabs and the people that are there. You know, they pray and drink at the same time. They say, you know, like if you go to their environments, you will see that they will not have drinks until they pray, because they say, Allah has said, do not drink and pray. So they twist it around. So we need to pray and then drink. You know, so first they'll pray and then they'll drink. That wasn't the meaning of that. That's not what he meant. You know? But you see, because they took prayers at the lowest possible level of understanding, So now prayer is not helping them. When you take Islam at the lowest point of level of understanding, it will not help you. You have to go for the higher objective for what prayer is for. Yes, prayer keeps you away from haram, but the higher objective is not that. So what is the higher objective? He said, As-salat mi'rajul mu'min. Prayer is that which makes you go higher before Allah and makes you go closer to Allah. See, Allah has to be your objective. That should be your objective. And when you do it for that, when you pray for that, yes, it will keep you away from haram. It will keep you away from wrong things. If you do it for that reason, go for the higher objective, then you will see it will be useful for you. Don't go for the lowest objective that you have here. No, go for the highest objective. Then you see all these lower objectives will be achieved by that. This is the intention one must have. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So just like that, my friends, when we look at things, we need to see the higher objectives of things. What is the imam coming for? What is the objective? Yes, they say, well, you know, he's going to establish adl and get rid of dhulm. Is that it? Is that the objective so he can get rid of all the bad guys? And then, you know, then we start doing our business and we become the bad guy then? You know, is that not that? I mean, they said, no, when he comes back, there will be peace and harmony and everything. No, even after the imam comes back, there are going to be issues. Imams have said there will be issues even after he comes back. There will be issues. There will be problems. You want, you know, peace and harmony, you know? The best place for peace and harmony is Jannat. Go to heaven, that's where you find peace. No one will bother you then. No one's going to bother you then, you know, if you go there. For that. That's that. The issue is that here, Imam, yes, adl and justice is a great objective. Right? And it is necessary. It's one of the objectives of the Imam returning. But what is really he coming back for? What is the higher objective now? It can't be just that, okay, he gets rid of all the zalimeen. All of them are gone. Now everything in peace, everything is good. Then what? What do we do? Business again? We go on with life again? Is that our objective? Okay, alhamdulillah, Imam is here, he's ruling in Kufa, I'm here in Seattle. Great, you know, he's back. You know, now what do you do? Okay, I have to go to work, 8 a.m. You know. Is that it? Understand, my friends, I want us to truly understand what are we waiting for the Imam for, you know? Sometimes we don't know the objective. Sometimes we don't know why we're waiting for the Imam. When we don't know why we're waiting for the Imam, then, you know what, even when he comes back and fights the Zulm, you know what, we won't be happy with it because we never had the true reason why we are waiting for the Imam. Now, I'll give you an introduction to give you the answer to this. Send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This, one of the most crucial dhikr and this remembrance of Allah amongst them that we have, for example, we have, you know, tahleel, you know, dhikr tahleel, which is la ilaha illallah, you know, or dhikr takbir, which is Allahu Akbar. These are azkar, these are dhikr that we have been recommended to, and there are many important things that are in it. When we say la ilaha illallah, you know, what is that meant to do? There's a meaning behind these dhikr. When we do these dhikr, there's a meaning behind them. For example, dhikr tahleel is a dhikr for i'tiqad, for belief. Meaning it perfects our belief. The more we read it, the more we go into it, it perfects our belief. Our aqidah. It perfects it. For example, dhikr takbir is not for aqaid. It is for harbiyat. It perfects our character. The more we say Allahu Akbar, the more we understand it, it perfects our character. It improves us. Allahu Akbar, the more we say it. And both of these zikr are, and all these zikr that we have, they are zikr-e-ali. Zikr-e-ali means that they are not the goal, but they are a means to the goal. These azkar, like tahleel, Allahu Akbar, these are means to the goal. It's not the goal itself. When we want to reach Allah, we say these things. For example, La ilaha illallah. If a person truly understands La ilaha illallah, if a person truly understands the depth of what it means and implements it, you see that his aqaid, his aqeedah in Allah is going to be perfected. It will be perfected. If someone understands La ilaha illallah. Or for example, if someone, they say Allahu Akbar. The more you go into the depth of Allahu Akbar, it will improve your character. This is to improve your character, do what? So that you can go towards Allah. That's what it's meant for. That is what it's meant for. So that it can make you go to a goal. But there's one dhikr in Islam, that is zikr-e-ghai. Zikr-e-ghai is that when you reach the goal, when you reach Allah, what do you say? When you reach your objective, what do you say? Because all of these things are meant to help you get to your objective. Once you get to Allah, what do you say? Zikr-e-ghai is tasbih, subhanallah. Subhanallah is zikr-e-ghai. When you reach Allah, that is what you say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the dhikr of when you reach the objective, the end result, when you reach it and you see your objective in front of your eyes, then you say Subhanallah. Not Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You said to reach Allah. La ilaha illallah. You said to reach Allah. But when you reach Allah, that dhikr is Subhanallah. Subhanallah is that dhikr that you read at the end of your objective when you reach Allah. When you reach your goal, that's what you read it for. And this Subhanallah, you see this dhikr? You know, what is the meaning of this dhikr? It's something I want to make you understand. What is the meaning of this dhikr? You know, when you say Subhanallah, meaning when you reach the goal, you say Subhanallah. You see, my friends, when Allah created Adam, when Allah created Adam, the angels disputed. They had a beef with Allah's decision. They said, wait a minute, you know. And you see the words that they said. They said, Allah, why are you making him your khalifa? وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. While we are the ones who do your tasbih, we are the ones who say Subhanallah. See, again, we are doing your tasbih. In other words, the angel is saying, we're doing your tasbih. Why are you making him for? In other words, the objective of man's creation, the goal of man's creation was that he is going to do tasbih of Allah. The angel is saying, we are doing that. So why are you making him? We're already doing it. We're already saying Subhanallah. We are already doing tasbih. Why are you making him now? In other words, the goal of man, the height that he will reach is that he will reach the stage of tasbih and do Subhanallah. That's what the angels are saying. Why are you making him? We are here. We are doing tasbih for you. Allah is saying, no, he'll do better tasbih than you. He will say Subhanallah better than you. You don't know. You know, you don't know. He's going to do it much better. Right. So obviously the goal of man is to do what? Tasbih. Say Subhanallah. And so this was a zikr that was meant for us after we reached our objectives, after we go to heaven, after we are in the presence of Allah, and then we say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. But it is Allah's mercy that He gave this zikr to us in this dunya. This is really his blessing, his lutf, that he has given it here. He said, I'll let you say subhanallah here. I'll let you do tasbih here, so that you can understand what it means. But this tasbih of zikr, this subhanallah, is very precious. Very precious. It is meant not just for here, it is meant that when we see Allah, when we are in the presence, when we reach our goal, then say subhanallah. So what is this subhanallah that we are going to say in Jannat, when we reach Jannat? What does it mean? Let me now describe it for you. Send me a salawat. You know, when you love something so much that you are just completely in love, head over heels with it. You know, let's say you love a car so much that, you know, it's your objective, you know, let's say, you know, since I gave the example of Lamborghini, so let's say Lamborghini, you know. You grew up with it, you have like pictures of Lamborghini in your room, you're dreaming about it, and fortunately your job is not such that you can buy one, right? But you're dreaming of it, and every time you think about it, you know, think this and that, my friend. Let's say, you know, when you see a Lamborghini, a person like this who's in love with the Lamborghini, sees a Lamborghini on the street, you know, I mean, what will he say? I mean, you know, when he sees it, what will be his reaction, his natural reaction, when he sees that Lamborghini? You'll be like, wow. Right? Wow. You know, he'll be completely flattened. Wow. Just look at that and say, wow. You know, something that you love so much that you adore it, and you're like, wow, and you see it actually. Say, wow, you know, that's all you can say, wow. You know, that reaction that you have is wow. Because when you look at someone that you truly love and really love, completely, and when you see that beloved, whatever it is, you will be wowed by it. All you can say is wow. This subhanallah is wow. Subhanallah is what? When you see your beloved, when you see something that you have loved so much, then the only thing that comes out of your mouth is subhanallah. It says wow. You know, just flattened by it. Wow, this is it. That's all I wanted. Wow, subhanallah. This is, my friends, the meaning of subhanallah. Subhanallah, it doesn't mean, like, for example, glory be to you. For example, as we say in English, glory be to you. No, in Arabic, it has a more emphatic meaning. Subhanallah doesn't mean glory be to you. It means Allah, truly glory be to you. Truly and really glory be to you. Sometimes, for example, when someone gives us or helps us, we say, you know, oh, thank you, you know. Now, obviously, when we say it, you know, we're not saying, oh, I'm saying I thank you. No, it doesn't mean I'm saying I thank you. No, I really thank you, man. Truly thank you. Truly appreciate what you're doing for me. You see, that truly is added in there. Subhanallah means usabbihu, I truly, waqi'an, truly I am glorified by you. Truly I am vowed by you. This is the saying of a lover when he sees his beloved. This is the zikr that we have to reach. This is the stage that man has to reach. Now we all go to heaven. Let's say we all go to heaven. You know, alhamdulillah, we reach there. And we all have our palaces. We all have our, you know, hoors. We all have our, you know, fruits and drinks and whatever Allah has said. There will be so many things. So we have all these things. Then what? What are we going to heaven for? What do we want in heaven? You know, you all want to go to Jannat, right? If we reach Jannat. You know, there are those people, you know, who don't even... I'm not talking about those who have a doubt, you know. Jannat there, let's see what happens, you know, when we die. No, I'm talking about those of you who are mu'mineen, who believe in Jannat and who want to go to Jannat. When you see Jannat, when you see heaven, what will be the objective of going there? When we go to Jannat, we're going to have, you know, Hurul Een there. You know, we'll have Hur over there. So what does that mean? You know, you have a wife here. No, it'll be an upgrade. Hurul Een. You know, okay, so you're going for an upgraded wife over there? Is that what you want? Is that what you think heaven is? No, we get whatever we want, fruits and drinks. Well, you have fruits and drinks here also. No, it will be better there. So you're going to heaven for better food? Is that the objective of heaven? That you're going there for better food? Better meat, better drinks? Why are you going to heaven? What are you going to do there? No, we'll eat all you want. Come on. Get overeating. Is that the objective? My friend, understand this. Why are we going to heaven for? What will be our pastime in heaven? What are you going to end up doing there? Understand this, my friends. Heaven is a place, Allah is saying that is where those who come there will truly understand what Subhanallah is. Meaning those who understood Subhanallah will reach there. They will have these fruits, they'll have these drinks, they'll have hood, but they will look at these things and say, I don't need these things. Allah, I'm not here for these things, I'm here for you. You is what I'm here for. Looking at you, that's all I want. I loved you, not fruits, not drinks. I loved you. You is what I wanted. Subhanallah, I'm just looking at you. Just stay there so I can just be in complete awe of you. That is, my friends, the objective of heaven. You think fruits will be the one? I always love to see these fruits. No. My friend, always love to know Hurul Een. What is all this? We're not going there for that. We're going there to be with Allah. He is the beloved. He is what we want. Truly, He is the one, Allah. We don't care about these things. You are the one I love. I want to just see you and be in awe of you and say, Subhanallah. You are the one who's beautiful. You are the one who's attractive. My friends, this is the goal of a mu'min, someone who is in love. When we are waiting for the imam, and the imam is coming back, and Allah is going to send back the imam, who is the imam? Isn't he Wajhullah? Isn't he the manifestation of Allah's qualities on earth? We're in love with Allah, we can't see him. Allah is not body or matter, but he has manifested his qualities in Ahlul Bayt. So that now when we see Imam, we are saying that look at Imam, we are not waiting for Adl or for these thing or that thing. We will help you to accomplish that. When that all is done, all we want to do is be with you because we are in love with you. All we want is to be in awe of you. You are the one that I love. You are the one that I'm waiting for. Not these added benefits, these side things. No, I don't need those things. I need you. You are the one. Truly, you are the one. When I have you, I don't need anything else. That will be my life. You are the one. That's it. Imam, that's why we are waiting for the Imam. That's why we are waiting for the Imam. Because really, what did the Imam say to us? You know, he says, you know, make dua in this way. He says, Imam, I mean really, what is the usefulness of these eyes and this sight and this vision that I can see every sort of garbage in this world, but I do not have the capacity to see you? I can't see you. What's the use of these eyes? I see everything, all kinds of garbage and all these dunya. I don't need to see these things. If I need vision, I need this vision to see you. You are the one. You are the beauty, not this. I'm encaptured by a mountain scene. Oh, look at this beautiful mountain. What is this mountain? enamored by a piece of rock. And I'm enamored by it. No, I want to see you. You are the real beauty. You are truly striking. You are the one that I'm waiting for. My friends, Imams, Mahdi is awaited. Salawat al-Ahmadullah. Imam Mahdi is awaited by believers, by lovers. Those who love him, those who are in love with him. That is Imam Mahdi. Understand who Imam Mahdi is. Who is our Imam? Who are we waiting for? He's not anyone, my friends. He's not anyone. Imam is something else. Really, if you understood this, Imam, when he repeatedly says to us that whenever you get together, make dua for his faraj. Make dua so that he can come back. You know, we really don't understand that. We don't get the importance of that. You know, when there's a child and you see a child goes by the mother, and the mother just feels like hugging the child and she hugs the child. The child doesn't understand why the mother wants to hug her. He really can't understand why the mother wants to hug her. My friends, Imam Radha has said that Imam Mahdi is more than your mother. His love for you is more than the mother. We don't understand why he wants to be with us. We are like the child who's waiting for the Imam, and the Imam doesn't know. I mean, really, the Imam, his love for us, we can't understand that love that he has for us. We are like the child who's like thinking, why does my mother always wants to hug me? This is different. Imam Mahdi is different. If you understood who we are waiting for, then you will know that truly, Imam, you know, we are, how can we not wait for you? How can we not be anxiously waiting for you? You know who Imam Mahdi is? Let me just tell you, you know. Imam Ali. You know, Imam Ali is that Imam. You know, I mean, really, who's Imam Ali? Imam Ali is that Imam who, for whom, you know, a being like Fatima used to make tawaf around. He was the one because of whom she went through every hardship in her life. No, Imam Mahdi, my friends, really, you have to understand, you know, if someone is in love with Imam Mahdi, you know, if someone really loves Imam Mahdi, it's not strange, it's not a big deal. Because Imam Mahdi is someone that you know, it is easy to fall in love with. He is that attractive. He is that appealing, he is that good, that you fall in love with him. Imam Ali, Fatima used to love him and she used to go through all the hardships for him. She gave her life for him and she's saying, it's right, Ali, you are someone who should be loved. It is your right to be loved, Ali. It is your right to be loved. Really, it is your right to be loved. You are that person. You know, anyone who knows you would love you. That is, my friends, Imam Ali. And this Imam Ali, you know, he was his way. He pounded his chest once like this. He pounded his chest as if to take out a sigh, you know, just a sigh. And he exclaimed to his close companion, Shaukatan ila ru'yati. Oh, how I wish I could see Imam Mahdi. How I wish I could see my Mahdi. Imam Ali wants to be the one to see Imam Mahdi. Imam Ali has that desire to see Imam Mahdi. If Imam Ali has that desire, how can a mu'min not have that desire? What kind of he is? Mahdi, it said that when Imam Mahdi, who is he? In Jannat, when everyone will be brought there, all the awliya of Allah will be brought there, and anbiya will be brought there, and they will all be in their glorious, grand, everyone will be looking so handsome, looking so attractive. They will all be there, and everyone will be there. It is said that Mahdi or Fatima will be like amongst them, like a peacock is to the rest of the birds. That is Imam Mahdi. Everyone will look at him, how beautiful he is, how attractive he is. This is Imam Mahdi. You know, Rasulullah, when he used to come to Fatima, and Fatima would be feeling down, he would give her, he would make her happy. You know what he would say to her to make her happy? That she would just smile and she would just lose every sort of hardship that he is going through. She would just lose everything and just be exhilarated in happiness. When Rasulullah used to see her, he said, "Abshiri ya Fatima, fa inna Mahdi minka." Oh Fatima, be happy that Mahdi is from your children. This is Imam Mahdi, my friends. When we wait for Imam Mahdi, it is not something simple. We wait for Imam Mahdi, waiting for him because he is worthy of being waited for. If we are in love with him, it's because not a big deal for us to be in. Anyone would fall in love when he sees Imam Mahdi and knows Imam Mahdi. He will fall in love with him. Anyone would fall in love with him. If you are crying for Imam Hussein, it's not a big deal. Hussein is worthy of being cried for. Imam Hussein is worthy of being loved. It's not a big deal. See how many arrows did he take in his body? How many injuries did he go through? This is my friends, Hussein. And that is his son Mahdi. Truly they are worthy of being loved. We are waiting for him so that we can be with our beloved. That's why we are waiting for him. That's what our goal is. Do not take it lightly. Do not think that, oh, he's coming only for this thing. Oh, he's coming so that we can be with our beloved once again. That we can be with him. And you know, if there's really anyone that we will remember when Imam Mahdi will come, truly, if there's anyone we will remember, you will see that all the mu'mineen, all these lovers of Imam Mahdi will gather around him, and they will come from different places with the flags in their hands, and they will come all these places and they will all be gathered around him, and all of them at that time will remember one person, and that is Abul Fadl al-Abbas. They will remember Abbas. They will look around and say, you know, Abbas, where is Abbas? You know, we have made it this far with his flag. Truly, he is the one who should be holding this flag. Abbas, we miss you, Abbas. Abbas, one of you. All of us are not equal to one of you. All of us are not equal to one of you. May we be sacrificed for the dirt under your feet, Abbas. All of us are here to help the Imam of the time, but we can just look at you. We all together are not equal to one of you. You are one. You are unique, Abbas. You are unique, Abbas. Abbas, my friends, is something else. If an Imam ever had a lover, then Hussein had Abbas, who was a lover. Abbas was the lover of Hussein, you know, such a lover that Fatima called Abbas my son. Fatima refers to Abbas as my son. He is my son. You know, that is Abbas, my friends. That is Abbas. Who is Abbas? You know who Abbas is? Abbas is that person. Abbas is that being about whom Imam Hussein had said that the back of Imamat is broken by your death, Abbas. Imamat is not able to stand up when it loses you. Hussein is saying this to Abbas when he came to the
When he came to Abbas, when he was lying down, he said, Al-an inkasara dhahri. My back has been broken by looking at you in this condition, Abbas. You know who Abbas is? Abbas is the hope of Ahlul Bayt. Abbas is the hope of Ahlul Bayt. Abbas is the hope of Ahlul Bayt. When Sakina, when she sent Abbas out, this was how Abbas is. When you give Abbas a mission, Abbas accomplishes that mission. He is the example of Ali. When Ali is given a flag, he doesn't come back losing. He always comes back as a winner. Ali always comes back as a winner. And Ali has left Abbas, the example of himself. Whenever Abbas is given a flag and a mission, he doesn't come back losing. He comes back winning. And when he went for this mission, but Allah's taqdeer and Allah's decree has it, and destiny has a different storyline for Abbas, that when Abbas went out to get the water, and the water seeped out from, when it seeped out from the water bag, you know, the people, he knew that he's not going to go back, because he cannot go back to Sakina without completing the mission. And you know, Sakina, because she gave the flag to Abbas, she gave the flag to Abbas. She gathered all the children and said, you know, now my uncle Abbas has gone to get the water. Don't worry, he's going to come back with the water. Abbas never fails. My uncle Abbas never fails. All the children are excited. They're waiting for the water. They're waiting for the water to come, and all they could see in the, and all they could see outside is the flag of Abbas going around. And when the flag fell down, the children looked at each other, looked at Sakina, and said, "What happened? We don't see the flag anymore." Maybe it's around that time, you know. Maybe it's around that time that Sakina. Sakina, how can she have doubt about her uncle? Maybe she made dua to Allah. If I wanted water, don't let anything happen to my Abbas. Don't let anything happen to my uncle. And when Hussein came back with the flag, Sakina saw the flag and told the children, look, the flag is coming back to us. The flag is coming back to us. And as the flag approached them, the children are gathered around and they were waiting to see the face of Abbas. But instead, she saw the face of her father. Never did Sakina regretted seeing the face of her father. At the time when her father brought the alam of Abbas back, she went to her father and said, where is Ammu Abbas? He said, he's not coming back anymore. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ يا محمود بحق محمد يا الله بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطر يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us, to increase the love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept this small ibadat from us. Oh Allah, we ask you that you give the blessings of this ibadat, the sawab of this ibadat to the marhumeen of those who sponsored the majlis. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ya Hussain.